You're listening to the Obesity Revolution. We're adding fat to fat. You can join the revolution. Follow the conversation and Sean's weight loss journey at theobesityrevolution.com. Now, here's Sean Mulroney.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Obesity Revolution podcast. I am Sean Mulroney, and I just want to tell you thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Thank you for supporting the podcast. As you know, the Obesity Revolution podcast is brought to you by the Obesity Revolution. And I say it all the time. I say, you know what? We are here. Our four pillars is that, you know, we want to identify the problem and what's going on with obesity and other things as, you know, lymphedema, lipedema, all these different things, variables that go into it. There's more than just a simple fix. And it's not a simple fix. It's complex. And so we want to identify the problem. We want to make sure that we educate. Education is key. And that's what this the podcast is all about. I bring guests on here that will help you and educate you so you can see that there's more to it. And then we want to inspire. That's what it's about. You don't have to be perfect to inspire others. You just have to show people how you deal with your imperfections. And then also we don't want to do that. We want to make sure that we continue to execute. So it's one thing to know, it's another thing to do. So don't just think that you know, do something about it and go forward. But like I said, you can go to always in the show notes, find our the Obesity Revolution support group. That's free. You can be in there. People are being support. There's thousands in there that are helping each other. We're there to support and encourage and have accountability. And then also you can go to theobesityrevolution.com and become a tour VIP member. And we'd love to have you. And we're there. But you know what I want to say first and foremost before I introduce my guest? You know, there's a difference that, you know what, there's people out there that you're either a thermometer or you're a thermostat. And so what I mean by that is that, you know, a thermometer, it takes on. If it's cold, it takes on the temperature. If it's hot, it takes on the temperature. But, you know, a thermostat is the one that sets the temperature. So what I'm saying with the environment and things and people that are around you, listen, don't be a thermostat. You know, be a thermometer, be a thermostat, be that one that don't let things and things affect you and the things that are gathering around you. Don't let the negativity bring you down. Just like the cold, it brings the temperature rate down, but you don't have to do that. You got to make sure that you're doing the right thing in the right modes and having, you know, people that are around you that aren't negative. So Don't be a thermostat. Be a thermostat. Don't be a thermometer. And as well as make sure that you go forward and do what you need to do for yourself and take care of yourself. But I'm really excited about our guest that we have on today on the Obesity Revolution podcast. She is a plus-size model, a lipedema awareness advocate, and she also goes by Curvy Girl Beth on social media, has a great following, has helped a lot of people, and I'm going to introduce you to her right now. So welcome to the Obesity Revolution podcast, Beth Reilersdam. How are you, Beth? How are you doing?
Good morning or good afternoon, Sean. Yes. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Well, you're welcome, Beth. I'm excited about having you on. I mean, you are an incredible inspiration to a lot of people, including myself. So thanks for doing this for me and putting
thanks
up with
so
me.
Much.
So.
Yeah. Well, you know, we had an immediate connection, right?
Yes, and, yes, we did.
You know, everybody that is crosses your path is for a reason.
Yes.
And so here we are.
Yep. I totally agree with you 150%. And yeah, we did. We had an immediate connection because we share some things. I mean, that, you know, the pains and the, you know, because you think about this, Beth, is that obesity, lymphedema, lipedema, things that people that have disorders, you know,
exactly.
They think that everybody thinks it's simple, but we got to find the people that, you know, our tribe that's going through it, you know, not to, you know, to bellyache, but to find out solutions, because we're not getting the solutions that we need out there from the medical industry or, you know, the health and fitness industry. And it's just finally now coming around that people are, you know, sort of paying attention to it.
Absolutely. You know, I had a discussion yesterday with one of my lipedema sisters, and we were, you know, she was talking about her, just her health journey, mm-hmm. right? And everybody that I know, you know, nobody has just lipedema.
Right.
Nobody is just obese. Nobody is just, you know, everybody has layers of kind of just different things that they have to handle that are all kind of collective or co-conditions or whatever. And so she had some particular type of anemia. I forget the name of it, but it's a unusual. Oh, I think it's called Mediterranean, you know, layperson terms. I think it's called Mediterranean anemia. And so we were laughing because I said, well, you know, you're just remarkable. Like, what can we say? You know, like nobody, you know, like you're just stunning. You're just because you can't just have, you know, you couldn't just have anemia, right? You have to have the, you know, you have to have the over the top.
The Mediterranean,
you know, right. You have to have the over the top, you know, rare, you know, like, let's just have one more thing.
And that's,
I was like,
right.
Of course you do. Like, I was like, of course you do. You know, like, it's just so funny.
I
just find that to be such a particular commonality that, you know, you look at people on the outside and you just think, oh, whatever you conjure up in your mind, you know, that's how they are.
Right, like, right.
And it's almost never the case, you know, for the good or the bad. It's just really quite, you know, it's quite remarkable to say the least.
And you know what, Beth, you said it, like, you know, your friend, you know, myself, and I used to think, man, you know, I'm a oddity, you know, I'm like, I'm something, you know, here I have this, you know, my hormone levels, my, you know, metabolic, you know, system is messed up. I have lymphedema. I have this, I have, you know, that, but the thing is all, you know, my blood work for my cholesterol, my, you know, my A1C is 5.1, no medication whatsoever. Yeah. Everybody, you know, assumes that, you know, we don't have a problem or you need to do this, or they think they know, but they really don't. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that that's absolutely true. And I think that that goes across the board. You know, you could look at a very thin person and you think that their life is just golden, right?
Yes, right.
Like, I can give an example. I used to think that Halle Berry was the most beautiful woman in the world.
Yeah.
Like, I was gaga, right?
Yes.
I just thought she was perfection personified.
Right.
And that any man would be just, there would be no, you know, there'd be no question, like,
yes,
undying dedication, support, whatever, right?
Yep.
And then not so much, right?
Right.
She has had a life.
Yeah,
right?
She has.
And so it's kind of amazing that, to me, you know, that saying that, you know, everybody has a struggle.
Yes.
And everybody has a struggle that they don't talk about.
Correct.
And so I think that that is such a key point that people really need to start coming to understanding of, right?
Right. Well, and you know, you said, you know, what you see is not what you always get anyways.
Exactly.
You know, and everybody can put on their best, and that's what, you know, social media, whatever, you know, Hollywood, whatever you want to talk, all that is they everybody wants to show the highlight reels.
Sure.
You know, on how they can be, you know, this and perfect and filters and all that stuff. But, you know, deep down, look at how many other celebrities have had, you know, problems, you know, mental illness or secret drug addiction. You know what I'm saying? Even what's her name? Demi Lovato. You know, she had some terrible times.
Right.
You know, and now she's finally coming and saying, okay, I'm doing this for myself, not what everybody else wants, because it's easy to want to please people.
Sure. Absolutely. If you're, if you have that personality.
Correct.
I have fallen into that category over my lifetime. I used to, even during the pandemic, I have to say, I have to say that there was a day where I went for a walk in my neighborhood, and I was going to walk down a kind of down a main street.
Yes.
And I don't know, maybe it's a mile. And I had just gotten this extremely, extremely comfortable camo cat suit. And so I was loving it. And I was like, you know what? This is so simple. I don't have to figure out what to wear. I can throw it on my sneakers and go. And then I was like, oh, my God. But what the way that I'd have to walk, you'll love this. The way that I had to walk was with the traffic behind me. So, like, you know, if I was going south, the traffic was going south, which means people would see my butt. I have kind of a, you know, a substantial behind. and so, you know, some people love that, but some people are like, what? Right? So I thought, oh my God, could I actually go out in public like this? And then I thought, that is the stupidest thing ever. You know, like, I spent all of my years worrying about if I would offend somebody. You know, if I would offend somebody with what I was wearing. And so I never wore something offensive. So that day I went out in that out. I was like, well, you can't be on, you know, worldwide spreading a message, and then in your own neighborhood, you're not going to go out, right?
Yeah. That's so good. That's good.
It was a growth moment for me. And I was like, heck yeah. Now, let me just say, no accidents were caused. Nobody, you know, screamed obscenities out, you know, like, get some clothes, you know, whatever, right? Nobody, you know, on the contrary, nobody, you know, stalked me or followed me home, you know, like, you know, nobody was like, hey, what's up?
Right.
And so the idea that, you know, people are really in your business is in your head, you know,
right.
And so here's the point that you would love is that normally, like in the past, I would have walked on the other side of the street. So I would have walked south while traffic is coming north, just specifically so people wouldn't see my behind.
Really? Okay.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. So talk about growth, right?
Yeah.
And getting out of, you know, shifting your mindset. And, but I have now over, so I've been on social media, Instagram is my main platform, and I've been on, been growing my account since, well, I started my account about January of 2019, but it really started hitting mid-year that year.
Okay. Which is Curvy so, Girl Beth. Which
yes,
is
Curvy your, Girl Beth, right.
Yes, yes.
Yes, across all my social media.
And I'm Curvy Boy Sean, so.
There you go. And, I even then, I would not have, there's no way. There's no way. You know, I thought people would, you know, if
be
I
hate.
Went.
Hate and all that stuff.
I thought people would just be mortified. Yeah. And I have found in that process, that, you know, I can go to the beach in a bikini with people around and nobody sees me.
Yeah.
So, I'm you know, like, I take up presence. It's not like I was out of, you know, it's not like they couldn't see me.
Right.
Like, they're like paying me no mind, which is fantastic.
Well, it's like, but you have the song all with you all the time. I like big butts and I cannot lie, right? That's what song
exactly,
you have.
Exactly. Right. I have that. But
I had
you
to
know,
sing it. I had to sing it. I'm sorry, but
yeah,
like,
it's okay. But I, you know, I don't know. I mean, truthfully, I don't know that I believe that. I mean, I know that it's true now.
Yes.
But, you know, I probably thought I like big butts was like, you know, maybe a girl that was like a size 8. And at this moment, I'm a size 18, you know. So yes. That, you know, in my old mind, that didn't pertain to me.
Right.
Yeah. So it's just kind of funny. And I have been way bigger as well. Like I have been like 160 pounds more than I am. So I know both sides of the coin. Right. I've been through a lot of sizes. So,
well, and even think that, you know, the stigmas that come with that, the biases and stuff like that, to where, you know, most people think, and here's where I'm going with right now, is that, you know, number one is they say, okay, you can't be, you know, you can't love yourself where you're at. And if I don't love if I didn't love myself at 687, I won't love myself at 187.
Exactly.
You know, and exactly. I'm thinking that what we're putting out there is that, you know, in your message that you're on, you know, for instance, you've battled your weight for most of your life, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And then you received a lymphedema diagnosis in October 2017, which that's exactly. A shame, especially it's whenever you
recent.
And that is recent. I mean, and it's a shame. And then, you know, since then you became a lymphedema awareness advocate plus
right.
A plus size model who has, you know, you have more than a quarter of a million followers, Beth. I mean, seriously,
that's amazing. I mean, it doesn't even register to me.
I mean, but
it doesn't even register
because
to me.
You embrace yourself where you're at. You didn't wait. You say, okay, I'm going to wait till I get down, you know, to Halle Berry size or so right, and so down right. to a size 0. Right. You know what I'm saying? Which,
right.
You know, you think.
And my acceptance actually came after I received I received my lipedema diagnosis. Yes.
Talk about that then. What was the turning point there?
So in 2016, I decided to embark on an awakening journey.
Okay.
And so I read all kinds of positive things. I felt like my son was old enough. I have a 13-and-a-half-year-old son. I felt like my son was old enough to, you know, take care of himself a bit. And I needed to find what really sparked joy for me. So I started reading all kinds of books. And all types of things about relationships and, you know, self-growth and mindset and I don't know, across the board. It was, I mean, the topics were varied.
Right.
And I was thinking that I really, you know, I wasn't doing the things that I used to love to do, which was, you know, like I wasn't going to the beach. I wasn't going really for walks. I wasn't really going to the gym. I wasn't really going out dancing. I love to dance. I wasn't connecting with my old friends even.
Yeah.
You know, like even like Christmas cards, like I wasn't sending Christmas cards like I used to. I mean, just little tiny things. And so I started to embark on that journey of like returning to myself. And during that time, I was like, you know what? I have actually always loved my shape. It has never been my shape that was the issue. It was my size at different times, not only because of maybe the aesthetic that I thought, because I used to think that you could never be too thin or too rich.
Right, right, right.
And later in that year, I saw the Victoria's Secret fashion show, and I was stunned at the difference that, you know, like a 6 to 9 month period had on my mind, because I all of a sudden thought, wow, this is what we've been taught to think is the gold standard. Like these women are really thin.
Right, right.
Like, and I at the time, I think, I don't know that I had started to lose weight yet. Maybe I was a little pudgy at that time. I don't know. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. In any case, yeah, because I think it was the next... Yeah, it was like the next February that, yeah, so like a year later, I then was like, okay, I was a parent leader at my son's school. I was going to have to perform in May in a music show. And I was like, okay, I got to get back with the trainer. I got to get on my clean eating. And that's that.
Right.
And so I lost like about 30 pounds in like whatever that was, 3 or 4 months. And it was a different thing for me. But I still didn't know about lipedema then. And I remember, you know, people were so amazed because when you have lipedema, I guess we should explain that in a second, but when you have lipedema, at least my type of lipedema, and I'm a classic lipedema, small waist, big hips, mm-hmm. full thighs, that kind of thing.
Right.
And so, you know, people were amazed. Oh my gosh, your waist is so tiny. And then one of my friends was like, yeah, you've lost some. And I was like, what are you talking? You know, like, come on, you know, can I have a little, you know, yeah, can we yeah. have a little,
yes.
you know, you've been working hard or whatever.
Right.
And I later realized, oh my gosh, that was really true because my bottom didn't look so different. It was not such a drastic difference as my top was because with lipedema, you don't release the lipedema fat, right? You release whatever extra normal fat you might have. So that was in my abdomen and my, you know, top half.
Sure.
And that shrunk really great. But the rest kind of, you know, minimized a little. But, and so when I got, so I thought, you know, I've always liked this shape. It's just that at different times, I liked it. The idea by that point, I liked the idea of it being smaller because of the ability that it gave me to move about more freely.
Sure, sure.
And later I learned, you know, in that year, later in October, I learned that I had this diagnosis of lipedema. And so lipedema is a fat connective tissue and sort of impaired lymphatic system combination of disease. And it creates, in my lay opinion, it creates an extra layer of diseased fat under the skin that is typically very palpable. It's nodular in nature. And because of that, it creates pain. And so it's kind of, usually it's affects 11% of women worldwide. And it is typically women who are diagnosed with it. That doesn't mean that there are not men who have it. And often if men have it, it presents as Durkheim's disease, which is another fat disorder. Those are more of like lipomas, mm-hmm. All over the body or in certain places or whatever.
Yes.
And so, and it also creates like a bump because of those nodules, it creates like a bumpy texture. So mm-hmm. I always say, you know, I'm really like a size 8, and I really don't have cellulite because I just have all this bumpy lipedema in my bottom half. And, you know, makes for a curvy presentation, but, you know, and quite frankly, I personally think it looks fantastic in clothes, but for me, it's not my ideal in, you know, a bikini or, you know, because I think, you know, I personally like the appearance of smooth legs. So even if my legs were the same size, I would prefer them to be smooth.
Gotcha.
So the whole piece about acceptance is, you know, it doesn't mean you have to like it. It doesn't mean that you have to think it's the holy grail. It doesn't even mean that you don't want to change it. It just means that you are accepting
that's
how
good.
You are, where you are.
That's good.
So I always use the example of people in lockdown. You know, when lockdown started, you had to start staying in your house much more than most people did, right?
Yes.
And so now you're there and you realize you got a brown carpet throughout your apartment, right? You live in an apartment, you can't change it. So you got a brown carpet and you're like, oh my God, I just hate this carpet.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? You're in an apartment. You can't just go out and change it, whether you have the wherewithal to do it or not, right? It's not your...
It's there. Right, that's good.
Right? You have to...
Yes.
You have to put up with it. So you have to accept that you've got a brown carpet. Then you have to decide, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to suffer and moan every day of lockdown? I mean, we didn't know how long lockdown was going to be.
This is good. But, yeah, this is good stuff. Yes.
Or are you going to... Are you going to just be like, okay, I have this brown carpet, and so now I can move the furniture differently, or I can choose to, you know, sit, you know, place my chair in a place where I don't have to see the whole carpet. I just, you know, like see a little bit of it.
Yes.
Or I can go out and, you know, if I have the wherewithal, I could get a throw rug to put over it.
Yep.
And so like there are choices, or I could, you know, when the time comes and it's a possibility, I can move to choose not to have a brown carpet anymore.
Yes.
So I think that one of the things that kind of piggybacks on what we were saying earlier is that you know, the part about like everybody has something that they're dealing with, and people often have multiple layers that they don't even talk about, you know, that chapter that people don't talk about, right? And I think that really, if we could get into the idea that uniqueness is our superpower,
that's good.
It would be amazing, because we've all been so ingrained to believe that we should be like everybody else.
Yes.
Well, nobody's like everybody else.
No.
There is not one person in the world that is like you.
Nope.
So why are we all trying to do that holy grail? You know, I use the Abercrombie. Remember those Abercrombie ads that they had a few years ago? I don't, maybe they still have them, but I don't see them that much. But it was like all these just absolutely stunning photographs of, you know, what you would sort of, you know, think that, oh my God, this is, you know, perfection. You know, like people would be like, I can't walk into a store like that because I don't look like those people, right?
Yes, correct.
And it's like, well, okay, but nobody else looks like those people either. You know, like that's why, you know, and even some of those people don't look like that because they've been photoshopped.
That's exactly right. Yes.
You know, I'm a little new to social media. I was never even on social media before 2016. And so in the history of social media, that's like brand new practically, right?
Yep.
Yep,
it is.
And I didn't realize that like people do all this photoshopping. But I do remember that one of my first conversations, which I think was in 2018 or 2017, I don't remember, with one of my favorite photographers. And I said, I was concerned that I had this, it must have been in 2017 when I was kind of at my, you know, hitting my stride there. And I said, because from the looks of things, I had started to see people who kind of looked like me, who had thicker thighs, who had rounded hips, who had a butt. And I thought, but none of them, in my opinion, had any kind of cellulite looking legs. You know, like at that time I was like, okay, I look like an 85-year-old woman with just hanging cellulite. That was my opinion. Mm-hmm. And the photographer was like, so I was like, well, you know, is there anything you can do to make them look a little smoother? And he was like, yeah. Like,
yeah, yeah.
What do you think I do all day long? Right. And so I didn't really understand that.
Right. That you
like,
could do that.
Every one of those pictures was Photoshop. You know what I mean? It's not Photoshop, you know, created to look aesthetically pleasing. And I was like, And then when we finally shot, I was like, listen, you can't edit in any of these pictures. And so, because I have to show all the lumps and bumps to show people that this is reality.
This is me. Yes. Right.
So this is reality. And this is what it looks like if you have lipedema. And if your body looks like this, guess what? You better start looking into it, because there are things that you can do to improve your situation. And, you know, if nothing else, you can take time to digest it and make a plan.
Well, and you know, Beth, you know, you saying all that, they're making that plan, and what you've done is that here's what I like and admire about you. Okay. Here's where it's at. We know being, you know, obese or overweight, all that stuff is not healthy, okay, for the body. You know, some people are more healthy. Just because you're obese doesn't mean you aren't healthy. And just because you're normal weight, if you say it, means that you are healthy. And so what you have done is you, number one, to say, okay, you're that perfect spokesperson that I've seen, and say, okay, I'm going to accept myself where I'm at. And when you did that, it was sort of that epiphany that you said, okay, here's where I'm at. 2017, you get that lipedema, you know, diagnosis. And you said, okay, there's some things I can't do, but I'm going to do it. But you also took your life and your health into your own hands. And what you're doing is you're reaching out to those people that are in a situation like mine or in yours. And what you're doing is saying, hey, you better accept yourself right there, because whenever you do that, that's whenever you're going to come over this way. And you said, so you have that balance is what I'm looking at, that you are that perfect spokesperson. And in my life too, that's what I'm doing. I feel that I'm, you know, the answer to lead people to the answer, that the 30 million people that are in their homes that can't come out, that are, you know, trapped or, you know, immobile. And that's what you're doing, is you're giving, you know, women and other people that insight to say, hey, accept yourself where you're at, but do something about it. And that's what I love about your message. And I see that's why, you know, people are following you. That's why I'm following you, because you give me that inspiration to say, okay, here's where I'm at. Well, if you don't accept yourself now, and then whenever you did accept yourself, that's whenever you started getting true progress, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I mean, the crazy part is that in truth, my once I got my lipedema diagnosis, I actually went backwards as far as weight is concerned. So that 30 pounds that I had lost, I pretty much put that 30 pounds back on since I had my lipedema diagnosis.
Yeah.
And the fascinating part about that is that I all of a sudden, you know, they told me initially that I, you know, I didn't have any other fat on my body, that I needed to go have it removed immediately to live, you know, a much freer life, because this lipedema fat is very heavy. It causes other issues as well.
Yeah.
It's constricting. It affects your lymphatics. There's a host of things that go along with it, right?
Right.
But I had been gluten-free for about 7 years. And I had been alcohol-free. I've never been somebody who drinks, but it just so happened that I had been like for, I don't know, more than 6 months without any alcohol, I think. And because it usually makes me swell like almost immediately, and I don't necessarily prefer the taste. And so whatever. In any case, I went to this tasting at a restaurant, and it was part of a special group to help the restaurant out. And I had a cocktail, you know, they were serving their new menu. So they had a cocktail and you know, I was with, you know, basically like my boss at the time. And my boss was like, can you get her a virgin? And I was like, no, no, it's okay. I'm going to have it. And my boss was like, what? You're going to what? Like, what are you talking about? Like, you don't drink.
Right.
And then, you know, totally gluten-free, right? And so they had, I remember, they had like a panko-coated shrimp. And I was like getting ready to taste it. And my boss was like, what, like, what are you doing? Like, what's going on? What are you doing? And I'm like, no, it's okay. Like, you know, we'll see tomorrow what kind of effect it has. Because normally it would always make me swell. I'm gluten intolerant, first of all. And then it's not a great thing for lipedema. Anything that, you know, you can swell so easily. Inflammation is a big issue. So you always want to do whatever you can to be less inflamed.
Right,
and
right.
So I had it. And the next morning I woke up and I wasn't... you know, it wasn't a terrible situation. I also could also sometimes get like cold sores from having gluten. And so, you know, hadn't had it in 7 years. So didn't have any dire reaction. And I thought, huh, well, I guess now I could have it every so often if I wanted, like if I'm going to a party, I don't need to bring my own meal.
Right.
Or if I'm going to Christmas, I'm Italian. So what I would always do for any of our gatherings is I would bring the gluten-free pasta. I would bring the gluten-free bread. I would bring, you know, it was always a production anywhere I had to go. And so I was like, okay, whatever, we'll see. Well, that, and then probably in the next 2 years, I probably drank the most alcohol I ever drank in probably my whole life combined. And that was because I was very social and I was out and about because remember, go back to that 2016, I'm going to do, you know, I'm going to live life. Right.
Right.
And although the doctor, the lipedema doc who diagnosed me said, you know, you need to go have this removed right away. She also said, you know, but you have to live your life. Like you can't just not eat. Because that was like my MO at the moment, right?
Yeah.
She's like, you know, you, yes, 80% of the time, yeah, you need to be gluten-free. Yeah, you need to, you know, do whatever inflames you less. But like on Christmas, you should have what you're going to have because what do you, you know, what's life about?
Right.
And so I was like, okay, I'm going to go with it. And so I went with that. And quite frankly, I added 30 pounds back.
Thanks for listening to the Obesity Revolution. Now it's your time to join the revolution. You can follow Sean's weight loss journey and get coached by trainer extraordinaire Brandon Glore at theobesityrevolution.com.